And see, the thing about sin is this. It looks good at first. But after you get into it, it makes you miserable. And sometimes people delve into things, they become miserable, and it's just like I did. See, before I was 20 years old, before I became a Christian, sin didn't really bother me. There was a certain way I didn't want to be, but there were some things I wanted to try. It looked like fun, and I wanted to be part of it, just being honest. And that's how I thought. No harm, no foul. I didn't think I'd do nothing. I didn't know God yet. God was a stranger to me. But I heard the word and I loved what I heard. I had a love for God, but I wasn't in covenant yet. See, tares don't, that's why the things of darkness is so slick. It's sneaky. He works in the dark. And people, I hid my darkness from my parents. Or I thought I did. I don't know what the Lord showed them. And they prayed for me. They knew that I had to make up my own heart. And I sensed that from them. And they figured I'd get it. When I became a Christian, they were not surprised. They were happy for me. When I became dedicated, they, especially when I went to the Holiness Church, they probably got concerned. Because they had a few run-ins with the Holiness. You know, the Methodist mind and the Holiness mind, that's two different types of wheat. Oh, I hope that boy don't just make a fool of himself. You know, holiness people, they can be strange to Methodist people, and Methodist people can they look weak to the holiness people. Two different types of weak, but they both love Jesus. Thank God for that. And so now this also, since I said that, when I learned about the Holy Spirit, I told my dad. He said it don't take all that. But guess what? When he was doing a revival, a kid my own age, I was about 10 or 11, I guess, he started shouting. I may have been as early as 9, because I remember that go-kart. I had it when I was 9. I was about 9 years old. And one of the guys in the choir, the Holy Spirit hit him, he just shouted. I said, I'm in the choir too. What's wrong with him? I didn't know about that. See, the Holy Spirit was on my dad. He preached like a Pentecostal. But he thought like a Methodist pastor. And he was, you know, if you're taught a certain way, that's how you're going to think until you see enough light to enter into something greater. But guess what? Pastors don't usually go to other churches enough to receive. In those days, there was no TBN yet. It may have been just getting started in those days, in the 70s. And it wasn't out here yet. So when TBN happened, people of different denominations, they got to see different wheat types of wheat. And they started, it's not, you know, the divide is not as divided anymore. There are Methodist churches that shout and praise God just like a Pentecostal church now. And then there are Pentecostal churches that quit shouting and praising God. They act more like Methodists now. So in all these denominations, they are good people. And from their perspective, the other side may look better or just as good. Now, but the mind of the pride is different. It's a sneaky thing. The Laodicean church got way out in left field and didn't realize it. Jesus said, you don't know. Well, let's look at it. See, Deuteronomy shows us a lot. But let's look at the end. The Laodicean church is the end game of the tares. That's the part. Among the tares among the wheat, see, they are not like God in character, and you have to look at it the way Jesus taught it. He said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold. See, they can go one way or the other. I mean, they're in the middle of Satan and God. You know, we want to be on fire for God. He said, I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, and I always took hot to be the church. See, the Holy Spirit came and they saw tongues of fire sitting on their head. You know, they were baptized in fire. All right. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not. They didn't know it. See, that's the problem with tares. They don't always know that they are tares. If the things of God, if you're not devoted to the love of God, do a soul check. If you can't amen the whole verses, just like in the illustration, like everything God say, if you can't amen everything God say from the heart, do the soul. It's worth it to check and make sure you're right with God. He said, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Let's look at that again. They're wretched, miserable. They don't even like their own life anymore. Poor, then they're spiritually bankrupt or spiritually in debt. Blind, they can't see their condition from their perspective. And then they're naked. They have no covenant, no agreement with God anymore. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. You do this by laboring with God in love. Bearing fruit. You're connected to the vine again. You're bearing fruit now. See, tares can't do that. They're poor. They can't bear fruit anymore. They're sterile to life. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Have spirit. God love him. It's an open door policy. He wants the people to come in, but come in right. Come in to life. This is the way of life. To love your brother as yourself. To put others first. That's the way of life. Isaac put it, he put others first. He laid his life down. In the book of Jasher, he asked his daddy to tie his hands so he wouldn't change his mind and move. He laid his life down. He loved life more than his own life. And that's how we buy riches from God. God is going to reward you for sincere. When you're sincere, you're going to do sincere things, and sincerity is rewardable. We don't do it for the rewards. We do it because we love our brother. And God is going to reward you because he loved them so much, and you're putting in, he's going to reward you. That's just how he is. He said, and white raiment, put on white raiment that thou may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Verse 18 again. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. The white raiment that you wear, it represents your love and devotion that you live on this earth towards others. Everybody's going to have on white raiment, but some people's white raiment is going to be brighter than others. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. I said that because Henry Gruber went to heaven and he saw it that way. Your love is entwined in the fabric that you're wearing. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So God loves, he loves everybody, the tares and the wheat, the husband and the wife that I illustrated. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Don't be the way you was, be the way I am. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also came and have sat down with my Father in his throne. As he is, so are we in this world. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy. There's a few things I want to clear up. We made it to verse 14. All right, the couple standing there, they're both saying amen. For their own personal reasons. And God know the difference. He's looking at the whole picture. He sees what neither one of them sees. He, in his mind, she's pure. In his mind, in her mind, he's like she is. And everything, and he's hearing her say amen. But he's saying amen to everything. She's saying amen to what she likes. And not repenting from what she don't like. That's why she's a tear. Now, and the Lord know that people were this way. So this is why verse 15 exists. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And now he's giving them a picture of what it's going to be like, so that when it happens, they'll come back to balance. Now, it's people who don't have a problem with balance, they're observing. And when they say, oh, amen, the word is growing roots in them. They already dedicated, so the dedication is growing roots in them. Remember, the wife is the tare, the husband's the wheat. In this picture. Verse 16 says, cursed shall thou be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field. Don't want that. She ain't saying amen, but she don't want that. Cursed shall thou be the basket in that store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. No way. But see, pride doesn't disapprove itself. It's looking at it. I better fear God. Now, this ain't, you know, he's showing something that's not good for him. And it, a person can have a love for the things of the world, but when they hear the challenge, what God is saying is going to happen, they may obey God because they fear God and stay safe. But the day they fall in love with God, now they live in covenant. You can live in covenant by not being wrong, by not doing the wrong thing. Some people do. See, in the wheat realm, some people do what's right because they'll take heed. And some people, they'll put that, they might be a tear right now. They might like something in the world, but they see the damage. And she's at a crossroads. She can either say, I'm going to learn more about the Lord. And you know, I hadn't really been taking God serious, but I'm going to take him more serious. She might become a wheat. And that's what I desire for anybody that might be tarish. She may stop being tarish when he get all the way down to verse 6-8. She might stop being tarish, and some of them did, just like me. When Earl said, I'm going to go buy a Bible and read it. That was my tipping point. I said, you know, he going to heaven, I'm going to hell. I said, I don't want to go to hell. I said, I did all the stuff I thought I wanted. It didn't do me no good. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. Please save me. I believe on Jesus Christ. And please save me. Forgive me of all my sins. But right before I did that, the devil said, if you get saved, you're going to get bored. I thought he was telling the truth. I thought I was really going to be bored. I said, I don't care. This is right. I finally came to a point. I'm going to give God everything. And I felt the peace of God. And I've never been bored since that moment. And I know Christians can be bored. I have not been bored since I got saved. That was my miracle. Sometimes you get a miracle. And that was mine. I can't be bored. I won't be bored. I'll never be bored again. I hadn't been bored since that last Friday of May in 1983 when I got saved. Now, by the time they get to verse 68, the wheat man is more dedicated, and the tarish wife is at a crossroads. She's considering, she's doing a soul search in this in this illustration of mine. And she might cross over and learn of God. See, Jesus said, when you get saved, let's see, in Hebrews 6, it says, go on to know the Lord. If you go on to know the Lord, that's very important. Now, Hosea said it too, Hosea 6. He said, you know, Hosea is one of those chapters that you have to find it every time. It's right after Daniel. Hosea 6, I think it is. Here it is. Verse 1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, watch verse 3. I love verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. If we follow on to know the Lord. Very important. Again, Hebrews 6. See, people, you're going to have to get to know the Lord for yourself if you're going to win this war right. Because the enemy is going to make something appeal to you. if you don't watch. He said, therefore, Hebrews 1 is just like Hosea 6 and 1. Hebrews 6 verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God. They were used to just talking about the rudiments of salvation, but go on and get to know the Lord now. That's what he's saying. Following on to know the Lord is very, that will get you out of the tarish ways that you may have. It will get you out of the tear territory, the worldly territory. You'll learn to operate from the kingdom of God. Now, the devil, he tempts people born of a good home. The Christian's children are tempted with curiosity about the world system. They see their friends doing and laughing about all this stuff, and the enemy makes it appeal to them and entice them. But those things also simultaneously causes you to become an enemy of God. It causes you to become like the Laodicean church. And you can't see, when you're in the world, there's no doorway out. You don't see it. If people don't live the life of Christ before you enough, you'll be locked into the world system. And you'll stay in it by your own free will. And that's but when people see more light, they want a good life. Remember, the tare wife said amen to the things she wanted. But she still was kind of interested in the idolatry of the day. But after between verses 15 and 68, it gave her a rude awakening. And the only reason I say rude, because, you know, hey, that ain't what I want. It gave her an awakening, I put it that way. Now let's look at something God warned us about all along. See, a person can love God. But if you love the world somewhere, it can. There was a man named Demas. Now he's full of the Holy Ghost. He's an apostle. He's working with Paul. And I say he's an apostle because he was working with Paul. He was helping him in ministry. In Colossians 4:14, he was in the greetings. He greeted the people that Paul was writing to. He was with him. Let's see, Colossians 4:14 says, this is Demas now. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. See, he was with them, working right alongside with Paul. Same thing with Philemon 24. And it says, Marcus, Articus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. See, they fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He was with them. And now, 2 Timothy, Paul is at the end of his life, instructing Apostle Timothy, showing him the things that's going to happen, preparing him. Now, look at what Paul told Timothy before we get to that, to verse 10. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having engineers. This is the way of the tear. Right here. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is what happens when you're one with the covenant of God, and you do the foundational things, and then the blessings come on your life. This is how Paul bought gold from God. According to what Jesus said. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Do thou diligence to come shortly unto me. Now watch this. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. for he is profitable to me in the ministry. Now the others, they didn't love, he didn't say that they loved the world. They had their own assignments, you know. But Demas forsook him for the world. And the rest were gone about doing God's work elsewhere. Now, this is in there for our admonition. We need to wake up and see the way of the tare and the way of the wheat. There was a man called Diotrephes. I talked about it yesterday, but let's look at him again. John is writing. This is the third letter that he wrote. He said, I have no greater joy, verse 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such. See, the Gentiles weren't accustomed to paying tithes and offering at one point. Eventually they got into it, because the life of God got in them first. Okay, so they were doing this without reward. So verse 8, or without payment. They had to do manual work sometimes to help the Gentiles. So he said, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now watch this. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. When you love pride, that's when you're going to start being an enemy against God. Now John said something else in, I think it was verse chapter 2. He said they departed from us because they were not of us. Let's see. Some people, are going to leave to prove that they were not of God. And this is a problem about St. John 2. Now watch what he said. I mean, 1 John chapter 2. Let's start at verse 15. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't have the love of the Father in you and the love of the world in you at the same time. One will drive out the other. Now, I did a broadcast last year called Holy Hatred. You got to hate the world system, but not the people. All right, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world system is a contaminant, and it's trying to leaven us with this leavenous poison. Verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Little children, verse 18, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Tares. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Very important to understand. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That's why you got to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Hopefully before you get married and also after. And who you befriend, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And you can still befriend people, but you got to know where they're coming from. It's good to know where people's hearts are. He said, I have, verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And also, when you start loving the world, you're going to have a problem with God and Jesus. Verse 23 says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, that if that which ye have heard from the beginning ye shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Moses had the anointing on him, and he was teaching the people, and the people were hearing. And it blessed those that were wheat, those that were sincere, and it protected some of those that were leavened with the world, just like my illustration. And some of them hardened and failed. Okay, but as long as they had a godly leader, they usually stayed in line. Okay, verse 20, and now little children abide in him. See, there's no substitute for having a relationship with the Lord. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Very important. So, all along, people were tempted. Now, this is how the enemy get a person that loves God off track. First, he's got to allure them out there. And we'll close with this one, James 1. James 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But now watch this. This is very important. This is how you stand and stay a wheat and stay strong in the Lord and grow. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You got to understand these principles so that you don't get caught up. You got to protect what you got to protect and guard your heart. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So if you kill the lust process, and you do that by loving people, you got to don't for men never see a woman as an object. See them as your sisters in God. Somebody God loves, and they're supposed to be beautiful. But just like the tree of life, you got to reject the tree of life was good, but you got to reject it. So when you love God and you see people with the love of God, you can't lust after a person and you have the agape love of God in your heart. It will cancel out the lust. It can't exist. That's how we overcome all things. You stay in the love of God and then you have hope. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when it is finished, brings forth death. People can lust after things too. But you don't, I'm complete in Christ. I don't need that. If I'm a single man, some people dress alluring and temptatiously, you know. I don't need them. I'm complete in Christ. And see, you can choose. You can make that kind of choice. See, when the Lord taught me about the will, he said something very, very important. Your will can be chosen. He said, here it is. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. If you have faith in God, you can do all these things. You can stand at your own will. You can choose to. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. See, if you choose to do it God's way, your will gets stronger. If you choose Satan's way, your will gets stronger in that. It's just like what Glenn Ford said in that movie. He said, if you start killing people, it gets easier. And you don't want that. You want to do right. He was a sharpshooter, but he never killed anybody. And then another man wanted to try, I forgot the name of the Western. But when that statement I'll never forget. He said, if you start killing people, it gets easier. And he didn't want that. So he faked his death so the gunfighter would go away. And I forgot how it ended. But anyway, your will can be chosen. But if you stick with faith, your will can be chosen. You're choosing to do things God's way. And we're always in that position. You have to continually choose God's way. And then your heart gets stronger in the things of God. Just like the man that was wheat, he amen everything Moses said. He was in covenant agreement with everything the anointed Moses was saying. And see, the anointing, we don't need a man to teach, we need the anointing. Well, the anointing is of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost used a multiple amount of people. He's saying the same thing through others. And you need that. And then if you're anointed, he's not saying if you're anointed, you don't have to listen to other anointed people. He's saying you don't have to listen to the enemy who's not anointed. You don't need a man deceived by the devil to teach you. You need the anointed to teach you. And it was understood that the anointing comes from the Holy Ghost. Anybody that's anointed, you know firsthand that this came from God. When God give me something, I know firsthand this came from my Father. This came from the Holy Ghost. And I can tell when somebody's lying against God. So he said, the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. So if you drive doubt out of your life, your will is going to be sincere and unadulterated. You know, adulterated, that's let's say you take a cup of milk and put it on the table. After a few hours, it becomes adulterated because the bacteria grows into the adult stage. All right. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. If you drive out the doubtful things of this world, your will will become strong in God, and your love walk will be strong, and it'll be on purpose at your choice. The will can be chosen and developed. I love that part. Now, this is something God gave me about. I always wondered how the will was formed. He told me years ago that it forms in the heart. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. The will can be chosen and developed, encouraged and discouraged. Everything Moses said encouraged the husband that was weak. And it also discouraged him from doing the wrong things, verses 15 to 68. And it showed the tear wife that this is something you need to take serious. It discouraged her from being a tear and encouraged her to be like God. So hopefully in her life, and it happened, that when Moses spoke, she changed her heart. She can do that. There's no limit to how much you can love God. He said, purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. Now, the Lord loves the wheat and the tare. He don't want to see his people destroyed. He loved them just like he loved Jesus. Everybody, tares and wheat. So Jesus took time to warn the Laodiceans who had drifted. That's how God is, and that's how we are. As kings and priests, we represent people of God. See, this is dangerous to become a tear. This is so much, man. Hebrews 12. All right, I'm at the end. I'm going to try to squeeze something in. If it makes the cut, this is going to be a two-part. And so I'm going to put my recorder on fast play to get all of this in. I hope it works. And in case it don't, we're at the end of the broadcast, but I'm going to try to squeeze anything after this. Hopefully it'll get on there. See, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus is our Lord. He loves you. Don't forget this. So